On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations the President of the United Republic of Tanzania and to invite him to address the Assembly. Mr. President.
Mr. President, Excellencies, Heads of State and Government, Heads of Delegation, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to begin by congratulating you, Mr. President, on a well-deserved election to steer the affairs of the 68th Assembly, General Assembly of our esteemed organization. As I congratulate you, I would like to assure you of Tanzania's support and cooperation in the discharge of your responsibilities. I also wish to acknowledge and commend your predecessor, His Excellency Mr. Jeremic, for his outstanding leadership of the 67th General Assembly. A lot was achieved because of his visionary and wise leadership. Mr. President, in the same vein, I would like to pay glowing tribute to our illustrious Secretary General for the excellent work he is doing for the United Nations and for humanity at large. My delegation and I find the theme of this year's General Assembly to be timely and very opportune indeed. We should start now to set the stage for the post-2015 development agenda. Hence, I find the theme, post-2015 development agenda, setting the stage, is the wisest thing to do. It affords us the opportunity to know where we are with regard to the Millennium Development Goals and decide what needs to be done to complete the unfinished business and enable us to make informed decisions beyond 2015. The Millennium Development Goals framework is the best development framework ever developed to address global and national development challenges. The world has never witnessed such a coalescence of concerted efforts into a unified framework. It is heartwarming indeed to note that progress towards attaining the MDGs has been made in the last 13 years. However, the progress varies from one goal to another and is highly uneven among nations and continents. Mr. President, although extreme poverty has been halved, the global level of over 1.2 billion people still trapped under extreme poverty is saddening. And an estimated 19,000 children under the age of 5 and 800 women dying every day, mostly from preventable and curable diseases. This is totally unacceptable, and in a world where there is unprecedented advancement in science and technology, which can be leveraged to solve almost all development challenges facing humanity. In a world where there is enough food to feed everybody, nobody should go hungry or be undernourished. In a world where there is so much wealth, there is no reason why poverty, hunger, and deprivation should continue to inflict pain and cause misery to many people. It is incomprehensible, therefore, why the MDGs could not be attained to the fullest. Mr. President, Tanzania made significant progress in implementing the MDGs. We have already achieved the targets in 4 of the 8 MDGs, well before the set deadline of 2015. On MDG 2, we have achieved the target of universal primary education enrollment. On MDG 3, we have achieved the target of parity of boys and girls in both primary and secondary school enrollment. This is different from the past, where boys were more than girls in schools. As a matter of fact, the trend now is tilting towards getting more girls than boys in school. We are yet to meet the targets with regard to the ratio of females to males in tertiary education and in positions of decision-making, particularly in parliament. However, it is possible to achieve the target of parliamentarians by 2015 because we are now in the process of reviewing our constitution. We are on target with regard to reducing HIV/AIDS infections, the requirement of MDG 6. Similarly, we have attained MDG 4 on child mortality, which is a big achievement indeed compared to where we were in the year 2000. But it is depressing to note that we are not on track with MDG 5 with regards to maternal health. We are intensifying efforts to do better in order to improve the health of women in Tanzania. With regard to MDG 7 on environmental stability, we are on target with drinking water for the urban population, but we are lagging behind with respect to rural water supply as well as access to improved sanitation both in rural and urban areas. That notwithstanding, we have not relented in our pursuit of the targets in the MDGs which are not likely to be achieved by 2015. This will be the unfinished business for which we need to take action probably over and above what we are doing. We are lagging far behind with regards to MDG 1 with its four main indicators. There is not much possibility of achieving the targets despite the efforts we have been taking by 2015. However, we have been intensifying actions to transform and modernize our agriculture. Our aim is to increase productivity and farmers' incomes, as well as ensure food and nutrition security for themselves and the nation. Agriculture employs 75% of the Tanzanian population, and this is where the majority of the poor are concentrated. So in this case, therefore, improved agriculture means less poor people and less hungry people. Plans are also underway to expand the conditional cash transfer program under the Tanzania Social Action Fund, TASAF, supported by the World Bank. We want to increase the size of investments to benefit more people who are vulnerable so as to accelerate the implementation of MDG 1 in the shortest possible time. Mr. President, generally, it remains my firm belief that despite some failures, MDGs have been nothing short of a remarkable success. If the developed countries provided the financing as envisaged under MDG 8 and as per the Monterey Consensus and their own commitments in different fora of the G8 and G20, we would have implemented all the MDGs to the letter and spirit. It is in this regard we would find it unrealistic to the post-2015 development agenda if we do not address the critical issues of ensuring adequate financing. This is also true with regard to accelerating implementation of the MDGs in the remaining period. We will continue to look at the United Nations for guidance and leadership in steering both processes to their successful conclusion. Mr. President, the fact that the United Nations needs reform is a matter of little disagreement. Our collective failure to respond to this reality creates skepticism on our common resolve to strengthen our institution that is meant to serve nations, all nations and all peoples. The reform we demand is long overdue. While we welcome discussions on the reform of ECOSOC, Africa will not relent in demanding reform of the Security Council so that the continent with the largest membership of the United Nations has a permanent voice. Mr. President, regrettably, conflicts have continued to interfere in our development endeavors as they linger on in different parts of the world, from the Sahel to the Eastern DRC, from Syria to Afghanistan, and other places. The conflicts have caused enormous loss of innocent lives as populations continue to endure sufferings. The recent use of chemical weapons in Syria, as confirmed by the United Nations inspectors, is rather distressing. We condemn such flagrant and senseless killing of innocent people, including children in Syria. We commend the Secretary General and the United Nations Security Council for the way they have handled the matter. I believe the doors for a peaceful solution to the Syrian crisis are not closed and that a military solution should be the last resort. Mr. President, the United Republic of Tanzania regrets to see suffering of the people of the DRC as a consequence of conflict has continued for far too long. We hope this time around the initiative of the Secretary General, which resulted in the establishment of the Peace and Security Cooperation Framework for the Great Lakes region and the DRC, signed in February this year, will deliver lasting peace, security, and development for the DRC and the Great Lakes region as a whole. We highly commend the Secretary General for his vision and leadership in this regard. We welcome the choice of Her Excellency Mary Robinson former President of Ireland as the United Nations Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region. She will surely help advance the cause of peace if supported by all of us in the region and the international community. Tanzania commits support. Part of the enduring problem facing the DRC is the proliferation of armed groups with varied interests. Bolder action is required to uproot these negative elements. These groups should be neutralized and disarmed. It is in this context that we welcomed MONUSCO's expanded mandate as per Resolution 2098 of 2013 of the Security Council that, among other things, established the Force Intervention Brigade. Tanzania agreed to contribute troops to this force because we believe it can help to deter belligerence and create a conducive environment for a political process to take effect. Of course, the panacea for the DRC problem is political rather than military. Mr. President, since 2007, Tanzania has become a proactive contributor to the United Nations peacekeeping operations. With over 2,500 peacekeepers in Lebanon, Darfur, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, we are the sixth contributor of military and police peacekeepers in Africa and 12th globally. We are partaking in this noble endeavor as faithful members of the United Nations, ready to perform the duty of advancing and upholding the ideals of our esteemed organization. We are satisfied that our contribution, though modest, is having a broader impact to those who have experienced the horrors of conflict. In discharging this historic mission, however, our peer peacekeepers, and therefore Tanzania, has paid the ultimate price, as was the case with the loss of 7 brave soldiers in Darfur and 2 in Eastern DRC recently. These are our national heroes whose sacrifice are not in vain. We hold them in very high regard. The death of our peacekeepers was a grim reminder of the dangers facing peacekeepers around the world. It is disturbing that armed groups and peace spoilers are increasingly attacking these servants of peace. We must unreservedly condemn all these attacks, as there is no cause or justification for such barbaric attack, which constitute a crime under international law. The United Nations Security Council, whose primary role is the maintenance of international peace and security, should be in the forefront in condemning such barbaric acts in good time. Mr. President, at this juncture, I wish to reiterate our call for ending unilateral economic, commercial, and financial embargo against Cuba, which has lasted for over 50 years. Our call to end this unilateral embargo is not only predicated on its legality, but also on the humanitarian concerns, particularly the negative effects it has inflicted on the quality of life of many innocent Cubans. We are deeply encouraged by the recent developments, especially removing sanctions and restrictions on human travel, or family travel, cash remittances, and telecommunication services. We hope this spirit will culminate into total cessation of the embargo in not too distant a future, so that Cubans will be relieved of enormous economic, social, and financial hardships as they've endured for far too long. Mr. President, the quest to resolve the dispute over the sovereignty of Western Sahara is also long overdue. It is high time the United Nations took bold actions to give the people of Sahara the opportunity to decide on their fate. It is incomprehensible why the Security Council, which has been able to handle bigger security challenges, including similar circumstances, cannot resolve the matter for nearly 40 years now. Justice delayed is justice denied. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, you'll agree with me that the Rome Statutes establishing the International Criminal Court, was a major milestone of the international criminal justice. Indeed, the court's creation as a machinery for fighting impunity was only possible with the support of Africa. However, a decade after its entry into force, a rift has grown between the court and our dear continent. The court is perceived as irresponsive to what are, in our view, legitimate concerns of African leaders and the people of Africa. It continues to ignore repeated requests and appeals by the African Union. It was sad to note that legitimate requests regarding the timing of the trials of President Uhuru Kenyatta and the Deputy President William Ruto of Kenya went unanswered. This attitude has become a major handicap that fails to reconcile the court's secondary and complementary role in fighting impunity. Indeed, the court's rigidity has proven counterproductive and stands to undermine its support, the support it enjoys in Africa. We demand change of perception. Tanzania condemns in the strongest terms possible the cowardly attack that happened last week at the Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya, which left over 60 innocent people dead and hundreds more injured. I spoke and wrote to President Uhuru Kenyatta to express our sadness and dismay. And yesterday, I signed the book of condolence at the Kenyan mission here in Kenyan mission to the United Nations. I reaffirmed our solidarity with President Kenyatta and the people of Kenya during this difficult moment, and also our solidarity in the fight against terrorism. This heinous attack is a heartbreaking reminder of the threat that terrorism poses to humanity. Indeed, none of us is completely safe from terrorism, as it can happen anywhere, anytime, and to anyone. We must therefore increase vigilance, enhance regional and global cooperation, and scale up the fight against terrorism. The challenge ahead of us cannot be underestimated nor understated. The success will depend on our unity of purpose and determination. At this juncture, I would like to commend His Excellency President Uhuru Kenyatta for his exemplary leadership in the wake of the attack and his unshaken resolve and firm commitment to continue to support the peace-building efforts in Somalia and elsewhere. We are with the Kenyan people at this time of distress and grief. Mr. President, in conclusion, I would like to stress once more that we are passing through a time of great opportunity despite the many challenges. We must take advantage of the current scientific and technological innovations, the current advances in information and communication technologies, and knowledge and lessons learned from implementation of development programs, including the MDGs, to build a world without poverty, without hunger, without diseases and deprivation. We build a world that protects its environment and nature, a world that has no wars, conflicts over all acts of terrorism, a world where human rights are respected, rule of law observed, democracy reigns, and civil society is regarded as an integral part of the development endeavor. With a stronger multilateralism and the United Nations leading the way, and with strong political will on the part of the national leaders and the people in countries, in our nations, everything is possible. We can make our world a better place for everyone to live. Mr. President, I thank you for your kind attention.